Shalom and Calvary greetings, my brothers and sisters. We continue reflecting on the thought of the work of God, and we want to read from Exodus 32, verse 15 to 16, to give us an idea of how a product of God's work looks like. Exodus 32, verse 15, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables." What a beautiful sight this was. Moses was caught up into this holy mount, and he witnessed the manifestation of the glorious presence of God. And this presence of God did a marvelous work. It curved out these stones. And not only did it produce these stones, but the finger of God wrote the word of God on those stones. What a beautiful sight it was to behold. And we need to see that in verse 16, the inspired scripture calls them the work of God. The tables were the work of God. No part of them was the work of man. No man's craftsmanship had any part on those first tables of stone. Everything about those stones were a complete manifestation of the glory of God. However, we know the story of how, as Moses was coming down the mountain, as we read in verse 17, there was a noise heard, and people were shouting, and people were screaming. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing, do I hear?" This was a very sad incident. God doing his work, bringing his word to a people, and these people, by their choice, not that they were defeated by enemies or some terrible thing had captured them. That is what Joshua thought. But Moses said, no, this is a voice of a people rejoicing, a people who've freely yielded to the passions of the flesh, despite having witnessed the mighty deliverance of God from Egypt. Now, Moses couldn't hold up his emotions as he saw the sight of sin, iniquity, the flesh rebelling against the word of God. In verse 19, we read the response of Moses. "And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount." All that complete, beautiful, glorious work of God, which was in the hands of this great prophet, were broken. Yes. But well, fast forward the story. The mercy and the grace of God called Moses for a second time up the mountain to receive a new set of tables of stone. But there's a little detail which we need to take attention of in the making of the second tables of stone. And we find this in Exodus 34, verse 1 and verse 4. And again, we shall read Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 to 2. Shall we start with Exodus 34, 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. Here is something. The first stones were distinctly told. They were the work of God. But the second tables, it is man being commanded to make those stones. Moses is told to hew the two tables of stone. He has to take a chisel. He has to put in effort. And that which is the work of man can never be perfect. The stones Moses made, we cannot compare their glory to that which was a complete work of God. In verse 4 of Exodus 34, we continue reading, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning. And when we read this same account as recorded in Deuteronomy 10, verse 1, this is what we read. At that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me in the mount, and make thee an ark of wood. Verse 4, and he wrought on the tables according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me. Now we see that the second tables of stone were made. We can't compare their glory to that which was a direct result of the work of God. But let us go back to the first tables of stone. No man's craftsmanship or skill had any part on them. The beauty of those stones were a complete revelation of God's work. It was God's handwork. It was the work of God. We see Adam in those stones. We see the first man who came walking on this earth in those stones. In the beginning, we see the hands of God fashioning a body from the ground. And it wasn't a dead stone. He breathed the spirit of life into that first stone we call Adam. Adam was a living stone. You didn't need to give him instructions of what to do and what not to do. Everything about him was the grace of God. Adam was not born by the will of man or passion of the flesh, as it were. Adam was born of the will of God. In his heart was the finger of God. And now we need to see this. In the genealogy of Luke, in Luke 3, verse 38, he calls Adam the son of God. Rightly so, because he was the work of God. The spirit of life was breathed into him. And here, when we read John 3, verse 6, the scripture tells us that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That was Adam. He was born of the spirit of God, the breath of life in him. And when we look at nature, the words of John 3, verse 6 are vindicated. When a little chick is born of a hen, the nature of a hen is already in that chick. It will behave as a hen. It will eat that which hence it. Why? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Likewise, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. When Adam had that breath of life in him as a son of God, he manifested the nature he was required to manifest. When he first saw Eve presented before him, he didn't go through any counseling or teaching. Immediately he prophesied, "This is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Adam had a prophetic revelation of what he needed to do. It was the life of God manifesting in him. Now, here is something. That was the desire of God, to create a family of sons and daughters. God wanted to see more living stones like Adam. To this agrees the words of Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5. We read, "Ye also," not just Adam, "ye also," not just the Lord Jesus Christ, who really is the chief of all stones, Jesus Christ being the new Adam. It's not just him who should be a living stone carrying the breath of life in him. But starting from verse 4, "to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones," or we can say living stones, "are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." What makes these stones living stones? In Genesis, we read that when God breathed the breath of life, man became a living soul. So what made man a living soul? The Spirit of God in him. And that is what made him a son of God. Let us conclude with Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Child of God, we need to see what the grace of God is. When God breathed into that first stone in Eden, that was grace. That was care. All the joy, the peace, the blessing, the enablement, the power lay in that breath of God. That was an act of love that God made Adam the way he was. Well, it is my prayer, it should be our prayer, that today, as we begin our day and as we walk through this day, wherever we are, may we manifest that grace. However, we see something happened when that first stone was made. The way Moses broke those stones, something happened to the first stone, Adam. Sin marred the human race. And now we are not like Adam. We are like the second set of stones, hewed by the hands of man, born of the will of the flesh. But can something be done on those stones which can transform them? We shall look at that thought tomorrow. Shalom.